Welcome to the Hypnosis NGH podcast. This podcast series offers a fun and serious look at hypnosis and offers various ideas, discuss case studies, along with NGH educational opportunities.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Debbie Livingston, and I'll be your host for this segment of the National Guild of Hypnotists Fabulous Podcast. And today I have the pleasure of speaking with Christian Scoresmith. How are you today, sir?
Doing well. I'm so glad to be here.
Yes. First of all, I'd like to congratulate you on the conference in the summer because you did receive the Hallmark Hypnotism Award. So I just wanted to say congratulations on that. That was really fun to watch you receive that.
Thank you. That was a delightful surprise.
Right? Yeah. Really fun. So this is completely off the topic, but I want to ask you this every year. The kilt. What's up with the kilt?
every year. I've only worn it for 2 years. But
I've seen you ever twice now, but yeah, I love it. But what's up with the kilt?
it's the most formal outfit I have and sort of dressing up for the awards banquet. That was actually my wedding outfit, like years ago. And I wear it whenever there's an opportunity, whenever there's an opportunity.
I love it. So then Scoresmith, that's a Scottish name then.
So I was the Smith part and my wife was the Score. And so when we got married, we combined them. And
look how progressive
I have a couple clans on my side. She has a couple clans on her side. And so we met in neutral territory. And so the actual tartan that we claimed as ours was one of the Stuart versions. And so it's like one that everybody can wear. And so that was sort of like our neutral ground for all
of us.
Very
cool. I just love hearing that little bit of history. My grandfather was MacDonald from the Highlands. So there you go.
Wow. Fantastic.
Anyway, so that was a little hypnotic aside. Just I like to know about people when I get to know them even more. So I'm excited to talk with you today. And we are going to be talking about the book that you've written. And for those of you that are listening or watching, this is a really interesting book, Transgender, Working with Transgender Clients in a Professional Hypnosis Practice. That's a very specific niche that you've carved out for yourself. So how did this start for you? If I can start with asking that.
Yeah. It is a very niche book. And so that's one of the problems of like, how do you market such a one? But so for me, when I was first being introduced or exploring hypnosis as a profession and being trained roughly the same time in my life, there'd already been some very close family members that had started journeying through that process, asking those questions, confronting those kinds of issues. And so it was foremost on my mind. We were still, as a family, we were wrestling with it, you know, as individuals, we were trying to process it and finding community in that. So it was one of the things that was primary on my mind, just at the same time that I was also learning about hypnosis, hypnotherapy, the possibilities, the potentialities, these techniques. So it seemed like sort of just natural at the time that this would be one of the specific sort of populations that would really benefit from hypnosis and in like doing it in a certain way. So that was just one of the things at the very beginning that as a result of which I really deliberately made my practice trans friendly. And I really leaned in on trying to understand how that would look, how that would happen. I was consulting with transgender clinicians and authorities and doing all that, doing a lot of that research. And so after several years, then this was just part of what I was doing. And I noticed that at the conference, at the NGH, this was a topic that nobody was talking about. Mm-hmm. So I just pitched like my very first time to pitch a workshop was on this topic, and NGH, boldly experimented with an untested speaker, And it was a great 1 hour presentation. There wasn't a lot of people. It was a very niche sort of topic, but there were a number of people there. It went very well. The next year they asked me to expand it to 2 hours. Eventually there was a small sort of collective of people who were really interested in this issue, and also a number of transgender hypnotists started coming on board. They helped shape the curriculum. Some of them co-taught with me. So it was really a several year journey that sort of blossomed into what this book became. The book was an opportunity for me to say everything that you can't fit into even a 2 hour or 3 hour workshop, right? And so it was just for me a chance to just say everything that I would want to say on the topic. And then I had a transgender hypnotist who wrote the introduction, not the introduction, mm-hmm. the foreword, but also mm-hmm. acted as like an editor and a coach and really shaped the material. So it would all around, it was really very infused with being a part of the community. It should be said, I myself am not transgender. So when I'm speaking about these issues, I'm speaking from the perspective of an ally, as someone who wants to be part of or wants to support that population, but is not a member of that population.
But there was somebody close to you that sort of got you on this journey of how to help somebody. Is that safe to assume there's somebody that you were close with that kind of got you into this vein of understanding and all that?
Yeah. Several close family members. Yeah. I mean, part of it and part of their journey is my journey, and but also it's their stories to say. Absolutely. So I don't want to be too specific about
I don't want to go there, but yeah. Names and dates is all I'm at. No, just kidding. So with the clients that you do work with, Christian, is there like, I've worked with not a lot, but several a good many trans clients, some being mainly when I was out in California, the youngest being 10 years of age. So when you're working with clients, in your experience, has there been like a theme that sort of runs with the clients, or is it each, I want to quit smoking? Like, are you working on the actual trans issues or just dealing with being a human in a body? You know what I mean? Like, how do you?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That was a horrible way of asking that question.
No. Actually, because there's sort of two broad areas. I'm sorry. I'm fighting with my cat here. Who is all of a sudden now very curious.
I got two behind
this.
Me. So,
when we're thinking about this issue, there's been two broad areas with this. And one is working with transgender clients through issues of transition or around gender. And there's all kinds of, we can talk more about that, but then there's also, how do you work with transgender clients just generally as humans? Because trans people are people, and so they can benefit from hypnosis in the way that everybody can. The one third area that I've been leaning into lately is also, what are the dynamics for the therapist? Like, what are the issues what are the questions that we need to wrestle with and deal with? What are the journeys that we need to go on in order to be better practitioners for this? And so that sort of shaped the shape of the work, shape of my presentations, and also the shape of the book. But to answer your question more specifically about around issues of transition, of like working, of like, how do you be in a transgender body? There's these kinds of questions of what is gender? And then also working with body image and gender dysmorphia, feeling like your body is not what you want it to be. And also wrestling with, like, particularly when they're going through puberty and having this idea of what they want their body to be and being disappointed by what it is, or maybe. There's also the, like, walking them through the understanding that that this is actually a very normal feeling for all kids to feel, right? Nobody gets very few of us get the body we want, right? And and very rarely do we get to like customize the body that we have. I mean, we have to live into the body that we get, mm-hmm. to a certain extent. And with transgender, there are things that you can do, hormone therapy, surgeries, those kinds of things, but also making yourself taller is a different kind of, or shorter, right, is a different kind of thing. Yeah.
Let me ask you, sort of go with this, like, what's the youngest trans client you've worked with?
So about eight. And that's typical for my general clientele. I don't I don't specialize in pediatric hypnosis, so I don't work with people typically less than eight, and that's even fairly young.
That's pretty young,
And a lot of that a lot of that work looked just like any work that I would do with any sort of young child. A lot of it was ego strengthening, encouragement, stress management. We didn't get into a lot of specifically transgender issues until I'm working with older clients. But it helps trans clients, even if you're not talking about trans issues, it helps trans clients to know that, you know, generally what the field of play is for them, what kind of issues, what kind of, like, the vocabulary, what kind of, you know, how do you use pronouns, and then also the kinds of resistance, political or social or family issues that they might be facing, you know, just to, for them to know that they don't have to educate you when you're when they're coming to
you. They want to know that you can understand a little bit about what they're going through.
Yeah. So they can just get to talking about their experience. Yeah.
Have you ever, this is really interesting, so thank you for putting up a lot of my questions. Have you ever worked with somebody, they think, I don't know enough about the process of when they're in the transgendering process, but they're thinking about changing, but then you help them. Have you ever had this situation where they got ended up just with hypnosis, they got so comfortable with the body that they had or have, they decided not to change? Has that ever happened?
So yes, and there's some generational differences. So in the same way, it feels like, okay, that this may be an unfair characterization, but it feels like when I'm doing work with weight loss clients, one of the first journeys that we make is in being more comfortable with one's own body. So they're not holding themselves to some sort of ideal. Like, they can still lose weight. They can still, they can achieve their own goals, but they're their own goals at that point. They're not like images of somebody, what somebody else wants or what they think somebody else wants. And so, there's some generational differences, because, so older, like people maybe 60 or older, they grew up very much in the binary where there's only male or female. Right, masculine or feminine, and if you weren't one, that meant you were the other. So there are only two options. And this was also a time before which they didn't have a lot of access to hormone therapy or gender reassignment surgery or that. So generally, their bodies. So most of these people lived most of their lives in whatever gender they were assigned at birth. Right, the one that that their bodies, they went through their body's sort of natural puberty process. And so younger than that, people through, you know, till their 40s, probably now, they still grew up with the binary, but they had a lot more opportunity for, you know, psychological help and hormone therapy and surgeries. But it was still very binary thinking. When the younger you get now, for people in their 20s and younger, and their teens especially, for them, they've so broken beyond the binary that now it's certainly not just masculine and feminine, it's not just male and female. There's all kinds of just now gender monikers, like there's new ones all the time, like demi male, demi female, and they think of it, like some of them think of more like percentages, non-binary, fluid, gender fluid.
Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but can you say what demi-male and demi-female even is?
So be like somebody who identifies a little bit as male and, you know, and like maybe primarily as female, but a little bit as male, or maybe a little bit as female, demi-girl might be somebody who identifies a little bit as a girl, but then it's non-binary. There's also gender fluid. I mean, so
interesting.
So to a certain extent, these words, these terms are sort of fading in their utility to describe people's experiences. And so it's not just recognizing and breaking out of the binary. It's actually dissolving the binary, like breaking it down entirely. And so the idea of gender, the younger you get, the idea of gender becomes more like a field or a three-dimensional play space. I mean, we don't have a really good analogy, like other than a spectrum, right? But it's not just a spectrum. It's like there's like how some other geographic or like geometric association. So when we're so where this comes down for your question is that the younger we get, the more open people are to also being accepting of their body and not have their body determine their gender identity. So mm-hmm. you can be a girl with a penis or a boy mm-hmm. with breasts.
Can't yeah. be judgment, you know, because we hold space. We hold yeah, space yeah. for healing to take place, and far be it for us to judge what a client's going through.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but with the younger kids that you've worked with, I mean, I'm so, my head is just exploding right now with so many questions.
Something I should clarify about the bodies of young kids particularly is that usually, so us non-trans people, people who are outside the community, or when we hear little kids talking about, you know, wanting to be another gender or something like that, our minds automatically go to bodies and body modification and surgeries and stuff like that. And that's not part of the conversation for people, for minors typically, mm-hmm. Right. Except in the case of like maybe hormone treatment, if they're deciding to do that. But whatever happens with like surgery or hormones or anything like that, that's usually what precedes that, almost necessarily what precedes that, is a lot of medical diagnosis, counseling. Those issues aren't come too lightly, and it doesn't mm-hmm. always, we're not always ever talking about surgery, but certainly not with little kids.
Right.
And oftentimes, so like there's different kinds of transitioning that the kids can make, or the people can make. There's social transitioning where you just change your dress, your name, your pronoun, your hair color, you know, your the length of hair, hairstyle, that sort of thing. Piercings or, you know, makeup. Mm-hmm. Those are all, that's how we present, right? And those are typical social transitions. And that's the easiest to experiment with. It's easiest to undo. And so that's usually typically where they experiment first. And with most kids, like if we're talking prepubescent kids, they're all their bodies are pretty much the same, right? I mean,
exactly.
So they're yeah. just potatoes, right? You know, and we just, so it just depends on like what color you dress them in, right? So so it's, that's very easy to do at that point. It's like when they become pubescent, that's when more of those kinds of questions mm-hmm. come up.
Yeah.
But then in addition to social transitioning, there's also medical transitioning. And that's where we would be talking about surgical, but even less yeah. less invasive is hormone treatment. You have to go through some puberty, one or the other, just for body health and bone strength. So kids oftentimes have to, like transgender kids have to choose which one they're going to go through. And then there's also, so in addition to all the medical transitioning, there's also legal transitioning, which is where you change your name, your gender marker on your birth certificate or your driver's license or the, you know, the mortgages and all those kinds of things. So which are like three totally different kinds of arenas and questions, and they're not mutually exclusive. They're not all, you don't have to do all of them or any of them in order to be a transgender individual. So when we're talking about little kids, oftentimes I just want to say, we're not, you know, we jump to like, how can you, like, they're going to make life altering, you know, surgical decisions when they're only 8 years old or something like that. And that's really not what we're talking about. Nobody's getting surgeries at age 8 or right. you know, even like typically even when they're minors, it would have to be a pretty extreme case. And that's usually even post-pubescent. Right. Mm-hmm. So there's only, yeah. So that's what we're talking about.
Yeah. Just listening to you talk, I can just, knowing how hypnosis works and how we help people with so many different issues and reasons under the sun, that every phase of somebody changing gender, I mean, every phase you can help them. And even like, now, how do you get your birth certificate changed? Like everything that could come up as a stress factor, everything that could come up as a, I don't want to do that. I can just see where hypnosis helps every single step of the way on whatever this particular journey takes somebody. And then and then how the families can be supported too. So mm-hmm. the name of the book again, I know you just said you don't have it in front of you to hold up. So the name again that we're talking about, the book is called Transgender, Working with Transgender Clients in a Professional Hypnosis Practice. So again, this is, I don't even know how much time, we're just going to keep talking for a little bit because this is just too interesting to me. So without giving away who, what, where, and all that, like what has been your most challenging client in this arena and why?
So one of the things, one of the issues that we can also help with is voice, because particularly trans women, so people who are identified as male at birth or raised mm-hmm. as male, there's a whole different way of speaking as a woman. Yeah. And it's almost always unconscious. We just learn how to speak the way our gender speaks, right? So there's voice coaches, and so several times clients have come to me seeking sort of hypnotic assistance with that. So they're working with a voice coach, but where it's been really, so it's been challenging in that way, because that's not an arena that I'm really proficient in. But again, like as hypnotists, we can really let the client guide the work. They know what they're supposed to be doing. They know what they want to sound like, right? And so a lot of it has been living into that voice and what are the psycho-emotional dynamics of the voice. So speaking out of a different area of the voice box, or like if it's more breathy or not, that those are all really important. But how do you want to present yourself in your voice? What, like in the more sort of the larger, like capital V voice, what do you want your voice to be? And like living into who do you want to be, as this person.
Which is so powerful, because, you know, voice is vibration and your vibration is your nature. So again, if you're looking at spirit is non-binary, spirit is non-gender, spirit is awareness and consciousness. And it comes into a body that it chooses the temple and, you know, it's tabernacling here on earth. I had to get my favorite word into this. You see how I just slid my favorite word in the world into this conversation? Tabernacling. It's a time of year when I can say tabernacling.
I love it.
So how you can help that client just feel comfortable and find their vibration, whether they're in what was born a boy body, want to be more into female body, whatever it is, you help them find their vibration. And you help them step into that vibration that they came here to really express with their authentic self. So that is such powerful work that you're offering. So, wow. For those of you, if you are just tuned in, you are listening to the National Guild of Hypnotists podcast series. I'm speaking with Christian Scoresmith, who is a fabulous hypnotist out of Seattle, Washington area. And my name is Deb Livingston. I've been your somewhat of a host today, I guess. Christian, is there a question that you wish that I'd asked you that I haven't asked you?
Well, there's sort of like the logistical question of where do you get the book? You can go to my website, scoresmith.com, www.scoresmith.com. That's scoorsmith.com, all one word. And there's a section on books. And what's good about that, even if you don't buy it from there eventually, you can read the first part of the book. You can look at all the table of contents. I put up some like literature review I did on the clinical needs for transgender clients. So you can download that. I mean, there's lots of information on that,
Say it again.
Is www.scoresmith, scoresmith.com.
Perfect.
Yeah. And there'll be a link on there for that book.
And I want to work with you personally. Do you do virtual sessions, or are you in person only?
I always prefer to work with people in person. I just love being with people. Right? There's just so much more you can get from that. But of course, this kind of work and other sort of niche specialties, I work with people all over the world. So I do work with people virtually. So that's certainly an option. But if you're anywhere near the Puget Sound, then I would love to see you in person.
I got to say, when I lived in Seattle, coming from New England, it was just, I worked in the downtown area where the underground touristy thing was.
Yeah.
In this restaurant called the Washington Post Cafe. That was in the early 80s. And after I'd get off of work, I'd just ride the ferries all around Puget Sound. It was just so beautiful. So people that are listening, because we know you're there, if you have transgender clients, you'd like more information, if you just like to talk to Christian about maybe a client that you're working with, and maybe you have a question yourself, go ahead and reach out to him. And your website again?
So my business website is wholehealth.today. And so you can always reach me there as well. That's for my hypnosis business. And like, there's a link to the book as well on that. But there's just more information on my personal author website, scoresmith.com. But yeah, so my business website is wholehealth.today, not .com or .net or something, just .today. And so you can always reach me through there as well. If you're looking for if you want to just walk through a case, some of that, I mean, I love to have these conversations.
Yeah. And I suspect people are going to want to have a conversation with you after hearing this interview. So,
Well, I love that kind of stuff. And whatever way we can, help people be better supports to the community, right? That's what we're about. So one thing I wish, to answer the question about what we should, I wished you'd asked.
Yeah.
Is, how does this affect cisgendered clients? I mean, so far we're always talking about the transgender clients, right? And we're not really reflecting, and even talking about them, there's the presumption that people are listening that are cisgendered wanting to work with transgender clients instead of transgender hypnotists, right? Which of course there are. So our language is of course limited. But one thing we don't typically talk about, which I think is which is worth giving some attention to, is what are the benefits? How does that affect being a cisgendered person working with transgender clients? How does that benefit me? How does that change who I am? And that, just asking that question and tarrying with that, has actually been really formative for me, especially in reflecting on how I want to be with transgender clients. Transgender clients continue to pose questions to me, to open up blind spots that I don't know that I have. Right. We're walking through dynamics or questions or issues, and I'll feel something come up inside of me. And I don't want to suppress that. I don't want to ignore that. I don't want that, of course, to take over the session, but because it's my stuff, but I can recognize that. And then I know that there's something more that I have to explore in that regard. Right. So I find that gender is so foundational to much of how we see the world, much of how we just walk through the world, that we don't even think about it. It's just, it's just the background radiation of the world. Right. Yeah. And it's only when we have the opportunity to lean into a conversation with people who have been not participating in that same way, that we actually get to have that dynamic highlighted for us in a way that otherwise I wouldn't ever have had. Right.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So that's,
and being able to ask questions, like having a transgender client as a cis,
cisgender. Yep.
See, that was new to me.
You're doing great.
That, cause I get curious and I like to have clients that I can just ask questions. And I'll tell you real quick, years ago, I had this woman, I forget what she was working with. This is in California. I don't even remember the issue that she was working with me on, but it was never about her body. Mm. And then I didn't see her for a long time. And then he came back to my office again. And I just went, you make so much more sense to me now as a man. I said, I don't know how to explain it, but somehow you just make so much more sense to me now. And he goes, exactly. And it just opened up so much permission for me to start asking questions, because I don't like to be ignorant, but I also don't like to pretend I know something when I don't. So I think it's important also, we probably only attract the people that would let us ask questions anyways, but I just love your openness, and I love how non-judgmental you are. And I just, in the few years that I've been getting to know you at the conference, I've just experienced that. I only knew you as this person who wrote this book since last year. I didn't realize that you had written this book, but I've only known you to be so non-judgmental, very open, and just so receptive to people. Your energy is just so lovely and delightful to be around. So,
well, thank you
for letting me have this conversation with you today.
The invitation to speak with you, I will accept anytime. You're one of the shining lights in NGH.
You're sweet. Thank you so much. And I guess we'll see you at the 75th anniversary, right? Because that's going to be a biggie this coming
Absolutely.
August.
Would not miss it for the world. Yes.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, woohoo, lots of good stuff coming up.
Yeah.
Thank you, Christian, for spending your time with me today.
Thank you, Debbie. It's been a real joy.
Thank you for listening to the Hypnosis NGH podcast. You're welcome to share your ideas for future podcasts by emailing us, NGHpodcast@ngh.net.